why we want to make Jesus known is because that's exactly what the church is called to do. We see this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, which says this. Paul is talking about his purpose of sharing Christ with others, and he says, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. In that passage, we see these three things. One is that we see that the church has a distinctive mission, and that is to make Jesus known. What makes the church different from any other social organization? It's the gospel of Christ. We are a community that is formed around the gospel and formed through our identity in Christ, but we've also been formed, brought together, so that we can make known the manifold wisdom of God that is seen in the story of Jesus Christ. We have a distinctive mission, one that sets us apart from any other organization on the face of the earth. And this mission serves an eternal purpose. That's one of the things that Paul says in Ephesians 3. The church is part of God's eternal purpose. You are part of God's eternal purpose. God has purposed that we, his followers, his children, would take it upon ourselves to share the good news about Jesus with other people. And this mission should be approached with boldness. Paul says we have every reason to be bold in sharing Jesus with others. And we have every reason to be confident as we share Jesus with others. And so that's what the church has been called to do. And that's what we're calling ourselves back to, is that original mission that God had in store for his church. So one of the ways that we want to do that this year is by doing something periodically throughout the year called Share It Sunday. And today is our first day to do that. And what we're going to do on these days, Share It Sunday, is we're going to be hearing stories, testimonies from some of our own members of how Jesus has transformed their lives, or of how somebody shared Jesus with them and that's how they became a Christian, or about how they have shared Jesus with somebody else. And so I'm really looking forward to these days. I'm looking forward to this day because we just have a chance to hear from our people within this church family of how they came to know Jesus. And so as you have seen and can tell, Peyton is the first one. He's our guinea pig for these Share It Sundays that we're going to be doing. And the reason why I wanted to start with Peyton and hear a little bit of his story is because he does have a good story, a somewhat unique story from some of us. You've heard part of his story and how he grew up. He has shared that with us before from this stage. But there's a part of his story that I don't think he has shared with us in this kind of forum. And that's the part that I wanted to get to today. As Peyton has shared with us, he did not grow up in a Christian family and did not grow up going to church. But when he was a teenager, he did come to hear about Christ and came to believe in Christ and was baptized into Christ. And so Peyton, I want you to just start there and just share with us how that happened. So how did a guy wasn't raised in the church, how did you come to hear about Jesus and come to follow Jesus?
Yeah, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and kind of elaborate on my story and build it out a little bit, and I'm really excited to hear the testimonies and stories that we're going to hear throughout this series. So my story, my conversion story, or whatever you want to call it, it really is focused in on a weekend, but we have to build up to that weekend a little bit. So like you said, I wasn't raised in the church, have no background of church or of growing up in it. And as I've told in my story before on the stage and to people, is when I was 10 years old, my mother was put away. She was put in prison for reasons that aren't important to the story, but it plays a special part into it, because Years later, now whenever she was away, I had to live with my father and my cruel stepmother at the time. And she's no longer my stepmother, by the way. I went and so my mom was released years later, and she was living up here in Oklahoma, and I was living with my father down in Texas. And that's when this weekend begins, because my mother was coming down with her youth group, just the church she was attending, and she'll tell you she reached more people, brought more people to Christ in prison than she might ever outside of it. So she was transformed. A lady who was not in the faith before she went in came out the light of the world. I mean, she was letting Jesus be made known in her circumstances. And it became contagious just in conversations and letters, but still, I had no idea what I was getting myself mm-hmm. into. So she was coming down for a weekend. They were going to Six Flags with the youth group. They're going to have fun. I'm in Texas, thought, hey, I'm going to go visit my mom for the summer in Oklahoma. This would be a great, spend the weekend with them and come back up. Now, what's important about that part is that my mom, she invited me into a space where God could work on me. Mm. She knew what she was doing. I had no idea. But she was inviting me into a space where she knew God could do something, because I was, for once in my life, going to be surrounded by Christians for an entire weekend. So I go, and I've been around people who are happy a lot growing up. I had a great, semi-great childhood. But the joy that I found in that weekend, it made me realize that I was missing out on something greater. So I was with Christians, and I was with youth of my age. And I think a lot of people, especially youth, is we don't realize the impact that we can have on this world just by being Christians. Yeah. That we radiate something, right? We are truly the aroma of Christ, and it's contagious to people who have never had it in their life. People can sniff it out. Now, if you put on a front, people know, mm-hmm. right? People know whenever you're putting on a front. The best time, the most authentic you are is when you don't even know it, right? It's because you just live and breathe the gospel message that people just see it in you. So I spent the weekend with them, and I noticed things that they would do. Now, my mom, I remember one time we were sitting at a visitation table while she was away, and she just had this smile on her face, and she would say, hey, God's with us in this. Mm. You know, in prison garbs, with guards around us, she said, God is in this. And I thought, how is God in this moment? Right? What is God doing here? Right? God's not here. And the same thing on that weekend, right? Hey, God's with us. No matter my weak worldviews, no matter the lack of faith and the lack of knowledge that I had, these kids, they didn't care. They loved me regardless. And at the end of it, I had questions. I mean, I spent just a couple of days with these kids, and I said, I have to know. Now, some people they can get through the invitation and the witnessing, and then they're like, yeah, I'm good. I'm ready to take on Christ. But for me, no, I needed answers to these questions I had. And gratefully, someone was willing to answer them for me. And that goes to the last part of my story. It was midnight. We were finishing up activities for the day. We're about to, the next morning, wake up and head back up here to Oklahoma. But I just, end of the day, and I was like, I have to have some kind of answer. I want whatever these people have. So it was midnight, and I went to Johnny Hinton, who was the preacher at the church that my mother was at. And I went to him and was like, listen, I have questions. I think you might have some answers. And Johnny was willing to sit down midnight with a teenager who didn't even know what a disciple was, right? I barely even knew what Jesus was. And he sat down, and here's the best part of that story, because at the end of it, right, 2 hours of a conversation, I was baptized in a hotel pool at 2 o'clock in the morning because of that conversation. Now, here's the best part about that story. Johnny, right, he was talking to a blank slate, right? I had no knowledge of the Bible, but he taught me the gospel. Right, Jesus, or Johnny had the wisdom to know that all I needed was to hear about Jesus, and that had the transforming power to do something in my life. I think so often we think we have to have all the answers before we can have these conversations, that in reality, sometimes all people need is Jesus, mm-hmm. and that has the power to transform. And like I said, 2 o'clock in the morning, baptized, and I haven't looked back since.
Yeah, and that's awesome. And so kind of summarize that again, because I know you talk about how you're invited into this space, and then kind of summarize that again for us. I know you kind of had three stages there, so just so that we all kind of get that, highlight those three stages again.
Yeah, so the three stages, I was invited into a space where my mother knew that God could work. Mm-hmm. The invitation, that's a form that we can evangelize people. We invite them into a space, whatever it is, a life group, into church, into a relationship, a space where we know God can work. My mother invited me on that weekend knowing that God could work in that moment, that these teenagers were a witness of Christ to me. They didn't even know it. They didn't even know what they were doing, but they witnessed Christ to me. They didn't teach it, right? They didn't proclaim the message. They didn't beat me over the head with the Bible or say, hey, we need to sit down with the Bible study. They were just being Christ and accepting me and loving me. And that generated questions, which gets to the final one, in which somebody was willing to answer my questions. Mm-hmm. Somebody was willing to get out of their comfort, right, midnight, right, after a long day, early drive the next morning, was willing to sit and answer some naive teenager's questions and trust that the gospel had the power to transform my heart.
So what was it about the gospel that, as it's being shared with you and as you're, walking through it and looking at the scriptures and all, what was it about the gospel that just captured your heart to where not only did you become a Christian, but now you're a minister helping others learn about Jesus? So what was it about Jesus? What was it about the gospel that just had that kind of attraction to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think you could ask everybody in this room and they'll have some kind of different attraction to Jesus and the gospel message. Mine in that moment was that God could accept people who are being unaccepted by everybody else. That Jesus loved people so much, he loved his creation so much, that he was willing to die for it and save it. That people like my mother, who were put away and did horrible things, was able to be forgiven and find joy and acceptance again. That I, who was completely naive and was, I was a happy kid, but I wasn't the right kid, right? I wasn't in a good place, that I could be loved and accepted by Jesus. That acceptance, it just changes the way you view the world.
Yeah.
The acceptance that I got from teenagers, the acceptance I got from Johnny, the acceptance that my mother received, Jesus, he loves people so much, and he accepts them no matter what baggage they might have. That is the gospel message to me. It's for everybody, it's for anybody, no matter their circumstances.
Yeah. And, the thing that really impresses me about that is that I'm thinking about people that I know, and I'm thinking that's exactly what our neighbors, what our friends, what our coworkers who don't yet know Jesus, that's exactly the kind of thing they're looking for. And that's exactly the kind of thing that will draw them to Jesus if we will share Jesus. The other thing I love about your story is that I know Johnny a little bit, and so I know that in that story, you basically have three generations involved in bringing you to Christ. Your mother and Johnny, but then teenagers. And I love that. And I think that's an important lesson, that we can all be part of the mission of sharing Jesus with others. And that God can use us no matter what generation we're part of. And so that's one of the things that to me just really kind of stands out.
I just want to thank you for sharing your story. I love the story. I love the way that you share it. And it's just such a good reminder to us and hopefully an inspiration for us to be sharing Jesus with others. So let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll continue after that prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for just Peyton's willingness to share his story with us. And Lord, we thank you for the way in which you have worked in Peyton's life and the way that you surrounded him with people who could show him Jesus and would bring him to Jesus. But also we thank you for the way that he is living his life now, and that he is living his life in service to you and is helping us here at Alameda become a church that is making Jesus known to more and more people. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the gospel. And Lord, help us to never forget what a powerful draw the gospel of Jesus Christ is. And Lord, help us to be faithful witnesses, But help us to be bold and courageous witnesses for Christ as well. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, there's four things that I want to share with you from Peyton's story to transition into the latter part of this sermon. So just hang with me for a few more minutes. But there's four things that really stood out to me from Peyton's story that I think we can learn. And one is to never underestimate the power of your example to make Jesus known. When people see Jesus in you, they are drawn to Jesus. It's not that they're drawn to you, they're drawn to the fact that Jesus is being shown through you, and it's Jesus that they are running towards. Never underestimate the power of your example to make Jesus known, and Peyton reminded us of that. While we're showing Jesus to others, we cannot forget that there's also a time to tell the story of Jesus. While it was great that people were showing Jesus to Peyton, there still came a point in time where someone had to sit down and tell him the story of Jesus. So not only do we need to show Jesus, but we also need to be willing to tell the story of Jesus to other people. I'm also reminded of this truth, that a changed life changes lives. Now, I've been able to see how Peyton has been used in his family by God to make Jesus known to many of his family members and just the way that he interacts with them and ministers to them. There's certain cycles within Peyton's family that came to an end with him because his life was transformed by Jesus. And I think about that night in that hotel when Johnny is sharing the gospel with Peyton and when he's baptizing Peyton into Christ, I bet Johnny never knew how God would use this young man. When you bring someone to Christ, you don't know how God is going to use them to impact more and more and more and more people. It just goes on. A changed life changes lives. But as I hear Peyton's story, I'm also reminded of this, that it is vital to teach children about Jesus while we can. And that's what I want to focus on for just a few minutes. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says to his disciples, if we can go to the next slide, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. A couple of things about that passage. Jesus says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And notice that the power of the Holy Spirit is directed towards being a witness for Christ. One of the roles that the Holy Spirit plays in your life and in my life is encouraging us, equipping us, emboldening us, empowering us to be witnesses for Jesus. But also, it's interesting where Jesus tells them to start. He says, "You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem." Well, that's their home base. That's where they are. And then Jesus says it's going to work out from there. Starting with Jerusalem, that witness will spread into all Judea and Samaria. And then eventually it will continue to spread to the very ends of the earth. But witnessing has to start somewhere. And Jesus says it starts right at home, in your home base. It starts with a neighbor, with a friend, with a co-worker that you see each and every day. But it hits even closer to home because it also starts in the home. We cannot be a church who is making Jesus known if we aren't first and foremost making Jesus known to our own children. And when I say our children, I'm not just talking to parents. I'm talking to each and every one of us. Because in the community of faith, in the family of God, in the body of Christ, we all have a responsibility to each other. We can see that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you have your Bible, turn there with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. This is a familiar passage to parents, to families. It's a passage that's used in children's ministry and youth ministry all the time to remind parents of the responsibility they have to teach about God and God's ways to their children. But I want you to see something really interesting within this passage. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 says, Moses is addressing Israel, and he says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey." Let's push the pause button there for just a second. We're coming to that familiar passage that we often say, parents, are you doing this? But what I want you to see is, who is Moses addressing? He's addressing the entire community. He's addressing the entire nation of Israel. And he's encouraging them to obey the Lord's commands so that it may go well with you. That's exactly why we want our children to know Jesus. Because we believe that Jesus is life, and that Jesus helps you do life better, and that Jesus gives you a firm foundation by which to weather the storms of life. We want our children to know Jesus because we believe, through our own experience, we believe, we know that it will go well with them if they are following after Jesus, if they are following after God. And Moses tells the nation that these commandments need to be passed down from one generation to the next, that's a core piece of Israel's identity. He continues in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, houses full of good things you did not fill, cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are among you. For the Lord your God is in your midst, is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and he destroy you from the face of the earth." Now the last part of that passage may give you a little pause, thinking, well, wait a second, God's going to wipe us from the face of the earth? He's going to destroy us? Well, here's the thing. We have such a capacity to destroy ourselves before God even enters into the picture, it seems. That's what sin does. Sin brings chaos. Sin brings destruction. But God can free us from that. God shows us another way that we can live, and this is a way that we want our children to learn for their own good, for their own benefit. One of the things that we found in that passage is that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with every ounce of our being. And maybe that's one of the problems we're having in this day and age. It's no question that the church is losing young people. One of the reasons is because maybe they're not seeing the passion for Christ, for God in us, the older generations, that inspires them to follow after Jesus. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, we see this, that making Jesus known to the children in our faith community, our church, is the responsibility of the entire community. Yes, God has given parents this responsibility, but that is a responsibility that's also given to the entire community. That's one of the things we see throughout the Old Testament that's descriptive of Israel and the way that they lived, the way they went about their lives, is they had a responsibility to each other, but especially to the younger generations. And that's something that we need to recapture if we are truly going to be a church that is making Jesus known. And we have some great people here at Alameda who are active in making Jesus known to our very own children. And I want you to hear from just a few of those volunteers.
I said yes because when I came back to Alameda as an adult, I was kind of in that weird limbo phase where I wasn't in college anymore, but I didn't have a family, but I still wanted to be connected to church. So Jenny roped me in from the foyer and gave me a class on Wednesday nights in the summer, and then that just carried into teaching the 4th and 5th grade girls on the Sunday, and this is year 3 of that, and it's awesome. Like, I can't imagine a Sunday morning without that group.
Kathy and I have been talking for a while about getting more involved someplace. We kind of got the idea that as we got older and became seniors, we'd done our bit, you know. We were involved in these ministries when our kids were small and when our kids were teenagers. We did our job, now it's time to rest. Well, we don't think that's the way we should do things. We talked it out and decided that it was time to get more involved. It's been awesome.
It has been so rewarding. The kids are just phenomenal. They're just so loving, and that's been really amazing to get to know them and to know their families.
I've been impacted by being a small group leader, by being challenged. Kids are not afraid to ask questions, and sometimes I don't know the answer, and I have to go to the Word to get it. And I like being challenged in that way, and kids also have a way of energizing you for the rest of your day, and that's pretty amazing.
I think it's impacted me in that I just can connect with them and realize that, you know, they're truly teaching me just as much as I'm teaching them.
Well, the first day in a large group, one of my kids, Jason Webb, I'm talking to you, buddy, looked up and said, "Mr. Corley, you're the oldest teacher we've ever had." And I said, "Jason, how old do you think I am?" And he thought about it for a moment and said, 80-something.
Sundays when some of my old students come back and some of the youth boys come back and just like hang out in the classroom and just talk and catch up, I really think that those connections that the kids are making when they're in the upper elementary, so in 4th and 5th grade, when they're, you know, making friends with those kids that are in the youth group, I think that transition, it makes that transition a little easier for them the next year.
Just being there every Sunday and having the kids, you know, recognize you and give you hugs, and I think it's just all memorable. It's just, it's hard to pick one simple thing out because it's all pretty phenomenal.
You feel younger, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
We may have noticed that our children's ministry has gone through a name change. It's now the Ignite Alameda Kids Ministry, because the purpose of our children's ministry is to ignite a lifelong passion for Jesus in our children. And these are some of the volunteers who are helping to make that happen. And I appreciate these volunteers and all of you who are volunteering in our children's ministry, because you are sharing your faith, you're sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, your experience, you're sharing what Jesus has done for you in your life with our kids, ensuring that we are passing on faith and the teachings of Jesus to the next generations that are coming up behind us. That's what we're called to do, is to share what Jesus has done for us. And a lot of times when we talk about these kinds of things, I have people that just go, you know, I want to do this, but I just don't know where to start. I don't know where to do this. I don't know where to plug in. Well, here's the deal. You don't have to look anywhere else, because you have opportunities right here every week to share faith with someone. And yes, sharing your faith within our own church family counts. We sometimes think that when our own children are baptized or whatever, that that doesn't count as much as when a complete unbeliever, you know, comes to Christ. That's not true. It's still a soul that is worthy to God. And so you sharing your faith to our own children counts. That's part of passing it on. That's part of being a witness for Christ. And brothers and sisters, we need your help. We have had a significant decline in the participation in our children's ministry, but also in the number of volunteers that we have for our children's ministry. We have an incredible team of volunteers, but they're tired because they've been working hard for years. And they've been working even harder than they should because we can't find enough volunteers to fill the spots. Just this Wednesday night, we had a couple of classes where we didn't have a teacher. Come on. We ought to be better than that. And I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. What I'm trying to do is remind you of the responsibility we have to one another. So often we think that our faith is just that. It's our faith. It's just between me and God. That is not a biblical view of faith. So often in the church we get in silos, meaning that we kind of have our little community and our little clique and our little ministry that we're doing, and we don't even think about anybody else, or we don't even think about serving anywhere else. That needs to stop. If we want to be a church that's making Jesus known, we have to be a church that is making Jesus known to our own children. Let me give you five ways in which you can make Jesus known to our kids, meaning the church's kids. One is to embrace the responsibility we have to each other. To quit avoiding it, to quit ignoring it, but to recognize that you have a responsibility to share faith with the younger generations. We just read about that, did we not, in Deuteronomy chapter 6? Embrace the responsibility we have to each other, to help each other, to equip each other, to encourage each other, to teach each other, to serve each other, to love each other. Number two, get involved in our children's ministry. Stop sitting on the sidelines. Get involved. Listen, I have been a teacher in the children's ministry. That is not my strength, people. But I have done it. Granted, I was helping my wife, which that helped a lot. But okay, I do that. And every time I've done it, I've loved it. I've loved it. It's uncomfortable to me. I'm more comfortable doing this. But I've loved it. I had the same experience that you heard those volunteers on the video, that they were getting something out of being with kids. That's the same thing that I've experienced. We need to get involved in our children's ministry. And Anna has come up with a number of ways that you can get involved. You don't have to be a teacher for 13 weeks, okay, for a whole quarter. I know that's challenging, that's daunting to most of us. Well, guess what? There are many more ways that you can serve in the children's ministry than just doing that. We need people who will do that. But we also have a number of ways that you can part of that children's ministry as a storyteller or helping out with different things, whatever it might be. But out in the lobby, you're going to see kind of this big sign, and Anna's going to be back there, and there's going to be sign-ups where you can sign up to volunteer today. And I want to encourage you, get involved. Get involved, because you need to be passing on your faith. Yes, those kids need you, but you need to be involved in it. It'll be good for you and your growth. Third is talk to children, not just parents. Have you ever done that? You know, you just talk to the parents, right? And you never talk to the kids. Hey, start talking to the kids. They're part of this church family. They're part of you. Talk to the kids. Talk to children, not just to their parents. Mentor younger than you people. By getting involved in our children's ministry, you'll have opportunities ready-made for you to do this. But this needs to become a pervasive attitude and outlook within our church family. So some of you older married couples, you need to find a young family, a younger married couple that you can mentor and invest in. Younger couples, you need to be looking for older couples that you can approach and say, hey, could we take you guys to lunch or to dinner and just ask you questions? Mitzi and I did that when we were younger, and it helped us tremendously. I love doing that. And so we need to be people who are looking out for one another and who are mentoring younger than you people. And number five is pray for our children. If you don't know what to pray, I've put a verse here, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 20. In that passage, Paul is praying for the people in Ephesus, and what he's praying is that they will grow in their knowledge of God's Word, that they'll grow in their knowledge of Jesus, that they'll grow in their appreciation of Jesus, but also that they'll grow in their power that is in the Christian faith. So if you don't know what to pray, go to that passage and pray those things for our children. At the very least, each and every one of us should be praying specifically for our children, for our students, that they will know Jesus. Well, this is our first Share It Sunday, and we've shared with you a story of a young person who was taught by somebody else what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And we are blessed because of that. We are the beneficiaries of Johnny Hinton sitting down and teaching Peyton Mensenmeyer about Jesus. Well, we have the opportunity to do the same thing for some young people if we would get involved and share what Jesus has done for us with our own children. I'm going to pray here in just a moment. And the invitation that we're going to offer is going to be a little bit different today. We'll have the normal invitation that if you have any needs that you want this church family to help you with or to know about, or if you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, you're going to be able to come to the front of the auditorium when we sing this next song, our invitation song. But really what the invitation is today is it's a challenge, and it's a challenge to get involved with our kids, to take that responsibility, that God-given responsibility, seriously, to go and to sign up and to volunteer and to find ways that you can help our kids know Jesus. I know sometimes it's hard to think about opportunities or to look for opportunities, but today we're presenting you on a silver platter with an opportunity for you to make Jesus known to someone who needs to know about Jesus. And so the challenge is, will you take advantage of that opportunity? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to be a church that's making Jesus known, because that's what church is. That's what you've called us to do. And so, Lord, I pray that you will inspire us, motivate us to pursue that mission. Lord, increase within us a love for your gospel. Increase within us a love for others. And Lord, make us passionate about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others, starting with our very own children. Lord, I pray that you will help this church correct something that's gone wrong, that you would help us to recommit ourselves to the importance of teaching children the Word of God. Lord, let us be a church that never has to look for a volunteer again, that never has to beg and plead for Christians to come and share faith with Jesus. May we never have that case again. Lord, may we never have a class that doesn't have a teacher in it again. Lord, may we never, never grow cold-hearted or lose sight of our responsibility in the community of Jesus to teach children about Jesus. Awaken within us a passion for children. And Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for not doing it. Lord, I pray today that you will make this Share It Sunday a day that's transformative for us. A day in which we take seriously the job you've given us to pass on faith, to share Jesus with others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.